Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother Lazarus who had died. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of the Lord, he will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And no one who lives and believes in me will ever die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I always look at July 29th as a day of reparation, much like I look at July 3rd as a day of reparation. Because if there are two saints from biblical times whose reputations have suffered so much over the course of the centuries, it is St. Thomas and St. Martha. St. Thomas is known fundamentally by his doubt, even though all the other apostles had the same doubt a Sunday previous, when Mary Magdalene first popped into the upper room and said he had risen. He was no more a doubter than anyone else was, but he's been called Doubting Thomas ever since, and we do have to repair that injustice by focusing on his faith. Likewise, we normally look at St. Martha as a woman with her priorities mixed up. Someone who fails in comparison to her sister in getting what the most important thing of all is, in choosing that better part. But today is an opportunity for us to grasp that whenever we celebrate the feast of a saint, it's not merely an opportunity to seek their intercession, but it's an opportunity to learn from their virtues, so that we might emulate those virtues and follow them on that path to holiness, to that place, as we prayed in today's opening prayer, Jesus himself will welcome us. So today let's look at four of St. Martha's great virtues. The first is her virtue of hospitality. It's very interesting in the Gospel that St. Luke tells us that when Jesus came to Bethany, Martha welcomed him into her home. It wasn't Martha, Mary, and Lazarus welcomed Jesus into their home. But the real focus of the evangelists was on Martha, who wouldn't have really owned the home if Lazarus was there. It would have been Lazarus's home. But in a sense, she was the leader in this hospitality. After Jesus healed her brother and raised him from the dead, St. John immediately tells us that Martha again welcomed Jesus and his apostles into the home. With St. Benedict, who said, "Christus hospes est," Christ, that the guest is Christ. St. Martha is the paragon of hospitality in the church. And we can learn so much from her about that type of open welcome. But she wanted Jesus in her life. She wanted to receive him into her home. And she would go through so many efforts to make that possible. It's a virtue that very much we perpetually need. Because a lot of the times people feel first rejected rather than loved. That's why I say all the time, Pope Francis' comments, "Who am I to judge?" or send such shockwaves, even though for those of us in the church, we recognize that we're not supposed to judge. But those who have been wounded in one way or another look at God and look at the church first as somebody who rejects, somebody who closes a door, rather than welcomes them with merciful love and prays for them to convert and to change. Hospitality is so essential. And St. Martha is the witness of that type of openness to receive others. Jesus will say to all of us at the end of time, I was a stranger and you welcomed me, or I was a stranger and you didn't welcome me. And it's so key for us to learn from her. Today's first reading from the prophet Jeremiah, we see what the Lord put on the lips of Jeremiah to say to the people who were rejecting not only him as the prophet, but the one who had sent him, God himself. And God said, unless you convert, I'm going to treat you like Shiloh. Now that might just seem like a biblical name, but extraordinarily significant. What happened in Shiloh? Since Shannon is here and the postulants learn everything, we can ask her. No. Shiloh was the place where the Ark of the Covenant lasted for 357 years. The real sign of God's presence was there. At the beginning, everybody was thrilled to be able to go into the Lord's presence, symbolized by the Ark right there. But over the course of time, people just stopped coming. They abandoned the Lord. He who was welcoming them, they weren't welcoming. So God said through Jeremiah, unless you change, unless you welcome and embrace with hospitality the messenger and the message that I'm sending, I will treat you like Shiloh. And Shiloh's become a curse word of someone, something, some place that had such extraordinary blessing that has now become a curse. It's a place that is forlorn, empty, because they refused to welcome. God wants us constantly acting on that hospitality. Second great thing we learn from St. Martha is about her loving service. It wasn't just come, mi casa es su casa. It was something far beyond that. She served the Lord when she was there. Her principal defect was failing to grasp that Jesus had come to their house to feed rather than to be fed, to serve rather than to be served. But we can admire her defect. So much that she loved the Lord, that she wanted to prepare a great meal. She really wanted to love him through all of those details of hospitality. And we can all learn from her that great virtue of loving service in the little things. Her mistake was for our benefit, so that we will be able to learn how to do our loving service with the contemplative heart of her sister, something that Martha, over the course of time, did learn, as we're going to see. But loving service is the second thing, and doing it through these little details, which go beyond just hospitality. They get to a real act of outpouring of oneself for someone who's been welcomed. Third thing we learn from her is what faith really looks like. She was an extraordinarily faithful woman. We see it in the gospel we proclaim today. She had sent word to Jesus that Lazarus was at the point of death. Jesus didn't move. No matter where he was in the Holy Land, he could have walked to Bethany within 4 days. But he didn't. Now the Jews believed that for the first 3 days after death, this was a prophecy basically of the resurrection, the soul would hover around the body waiting for an opportunity to re-enter. That for 3 days resurrection was possible. But once the fourth day happened, it was over. No chance, all hope is gone. And Jesus waited for the fourth day to show up. Martha ran out to meet him. She didn't say, hi, how you doing, Jesus? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. What the heck took you so long? You could have prevented this. You could have prevented the outpouring of tears. If you were here, my brother wouldn't have died, which is already an extraordinary act of faith in Jesus' healing power. Then she flipped because of her faith. And she said, "But even now I know, on this fourth day, when everybody thinks that this is totally impossible, but even now I know that whatever you ask of God, He will give you. Nothing is impossible for you." Jesus says, "Your brother will rise." And she, doubtless having sat at His feet in her own home and asked the question, "Lord, what happens after we die? Is there really an afterlife like the Pharisees say, or is there no afterlife like the Sadducees claim? What happens?" Jesus talked about the general, what we would now call the general resurrection on the last day. And so when He said, "Your brother will rise," she took it as a reference to what she had heard Him say. "I know He will rise in the resurrection on the last day." But Jesus knew what she was saying. She wanted her brother to resuscitate right then. So Jesus wanted to communicate to her that resurrection is not just a fact. Resurrection is a relationship. So He stresses, "I am the resurrection and the Zoe," the supernatural life. "Whoever believes in Me, even if he dies, will live. Because if you've got that relationship with Me, who am life eternal, you will never die. You will never die. Your body may perish, but you will always live because this relationship will endure until the resurrection of the body. Whoever lives and believes in Me will never die." And then He asked her that 600 denarii question. "Do you believe this?" And then Martha gave the real principle of every act of faith. She didn't say, "Yes, I believe that, Jesus, because it makes sense to my reason." She went to the real ground of faith. She said, "I believe You. And because I believe You, I believe in what You've just said. I have come to believe and know that You are the Son of God. You are the Messiah, the One who not just has come into the world, but present tense is coming into the world, is constantly coming into our reality. I believe that You are everything You have testified. And because I believe in You, I know my brother will rise on the resurrection of the last day." And then Jesus rewarded her faith by going to the tomb and calling forth Lazarus. That type of faith, that nothing is impossible for God. Nothing. I mean, at my funeral, the first reading will be from 1 Kings 19. Because it's really always defined the way I approach the faith. I know Shannon knows that that's Elijah versus the priests of Baal, where you drench the sacrifice underwater and God still ignites it and it's gone. You could have put that sacrifice at the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea and God still could have ignited the whole thing at the bottom of the ocean. That nothing's impossible. That's what Martha teaches us. And the fourth virtue is she doesn't keep this faith, this hospitality, this loving service to herself in her relationship with Jesus. She's constantly trying to bring that life and resurrection, that faith, that service, that hospitality to others. So as soon as this scene happens, she runs to her sister Mary and says, "Magister adest et vocat te." The Lord didn't say, "Go call your sister." But she ran. and said, "The Lord is here, and He's calling you." And then Mary got up, and Mary went to the Lord Jesus, said the same words that she had doubtless been talking about with Martha every day and every night. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." And Jesus wept with them, and then He went to the tomb. Martha wanted to bring Jesus to her sister and her sister to Jesus. And that's that great virtue. On so many of the altars in ancient Europe, you've got these inscriptions. And one of my favorite is, "Magister adest et vocate." When I had a chance in the chapel of friends of mine to help design the chapel and write these inscriptions, that's what we put right there on the altar. The Lord is here, calling you at every moment, calling us to Himself. The Lord is calling us to Himself in the Eucharist. The Lord is calling us to Himself in His Holy Word. The Lord is calling us to Himself in all those He sends to us each day. The Lord is calling us to Himself in the poor, in newborn babies, even from the womb. The Lord is present, and He's summoning each of us. This is at the root of every vocation. Martha had discovered that in faith she brought that joy to her sister. And that virtue is a model for us to be able to say to everyone we meet, "The same Master is here, and He's calling you. You're not unworthy of that call. He wants to transform you." Like we see with Jeremiah, He's constantly giving us a new chance, but let's respond. Let's not take His presence for granted. Today, as we come forward, we ask through Martha's intercession to receive the Lord Jesus, who is coming onto this altar, and within us, with the same hospitality, that same desire for loving service, that same faith, and that same passion to share, as we see in her. We prayed at the opening prayer that the Father, whose Son Jesus deigned to be welcomed by Martha in her home, may He, at the end of our time on earth, welcome us into His kingdom in heaven. And the foretaste of that is the double welcome that happens here at Mass, where we welcome Him not just into our chapel, but within us. But He also welcomes us and makes us a member of His body. Wow.